بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The greatest gift after Iman is time. As such, Allah Ta'ala revealed one surah impressing the importance of time. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, with the token of time. So it's such a precious gift. And then it doesn't make considerations for anybody. You can't tell time, just hold on, you know. And I'll come back to you, hunt, but for a second. It goes on moving. You can't even preserve it. Every other commodity, there's some way to preserve it, take care of it. Can you take time and preserve it? It moves, it carries on. Today is Tuesday, isn't it? The 13th of Ramadan today. So now we read the Fajr Namaz this morning, right? 13th Ramadan. Can you ever get that Fajr again? No one's going to never get it again. So Allah Ta'ala has engineered time in that way, that He wants you to respect and value every second. You won't waste your time. Now in this whole commotion of life, you get all types of people want to eat into your time. Some people you can tell them gently, I'm busy, I'm occupied. And some people you can't avoid. So those that you can't avoid, then you have to have a tactical approach of avoiding them, tactical approach. Abu Bakr Siddiq, someone is wanting to engage. And then engage in different ways. Oh, you did this, and you did this, and you did this. In different ways, different words. That's what he wants to know. Now how tactfully he approached the thing. So he says, just in two lines. So see, if I am wrong, may Allah Ta'ala forgive me. And if you are wrong, may Allah Ta'ala forgive you. I ask now, beyond that, can you add anything? Can you only one or two situations, right? Either I am wrong or you are wrong. I am wrong, Allah may forgive me. And if you are wrong, Allah will forgive you. Can you add to that? I see to avoid. How to avoid to a situation? The Shaykh al Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib. Now, in the tasawwuf, the Shaykh gives you ijazat. Some person, Shaykh feels now, he's competent enough, he's learned quite well, and he gives him ijazat that you can do the same thing elsewhere. But that's a topic on its own. There's no time limit to it. Sometimes after 30 years, sometimes 5 years, sometimes 1 year. So now, everybody's got his own mind. So they'll pass their own comments and their own remarks. So someone will ask, how could the Shaykh give this person khilafah? So that questions will come up. So the Shaykh's standard answer was, see, if the malaika in the grave, Munkar Nakir, they ask you, why the Shaykh gave so and so ijazat, the same Zakariya stopped him, asking these type of questions. It doesn't concern you at all. So why must you engage in that? It doesn't concern your deen, not your dunya. I think it doesn't concern. So things that don't concern you, why must you give them it? There's so much you can gain. You know, look at deen from a different perspective, right? It's not the best approach. But you must come to the conclusion, deen is the finest prescription for happiness. It's the finest prescription for happiness. It's teaching you, right? That if you are a little bit poor, then it's teaching you how to be happy. How you must be happy? Look at the person that's poorer than you. You don't feel happy. He doesn't even have proper bread. And I may not be so wealthy, but when I open my fridge, then I have to make mashwara, I have to make istikhara, what must be prepared? Half moon, samosa, pizza, what? So many things are on there. I have to make mashwara, make istikhara, what? And Chara, the other chef, he doesn't even have, he has supper, he doesn't have breakfast. So breakfast, the supper is not secure. Now, if you think like this seriously, won't you be a happy person? Won't you be thankful and grateful to Allah Ta'ala? But you think into a sub-woman, he got 5 properties, and each property is bringing about 20,000. And me, I'm only stuck with 2 properties. Now, what's going to happen to my children, grandchildren, what's going to happen to them? Now, can you be happy that way? So you turn away from deen, and you ask him what you want. And where you bring into deen into the equation, bring it properly, then it is a prescription for happiness. In your, in the most gloomiest of moments, then too you can be happy. Ibn Abbas is the cousin of Rasulullah Barsan. He lost his father, so obviously he was affected by the loss of the father. He was really affected. So a villager comes and offers him condolence. But the words are too beautiful. So the villager tells him, Bas, see, there's one of two situations. The first situation is, you lost a father, right? Right. So you are looking at the grief and the pain at the loss of the father. But the reward that you get for your sabr is far greater than the father. See, when it's the loss of the father, you feel pain, right? But did you think about the reward that you're going to get? The reward is far greater than Abbas, your father. That's why on the day of Qiyamah, people observe sabr, right? And when they're getting their rewards, what Allah is blessing them, the reward is so immense, you know, beyond imagination, the reward is so great. So the others that were in ease and comfort, they will think, and they were long, that if our own whole lives were in distress and pain, if only our entire bodies were ripped to pieces, you know, we went through that, so we can also be eligible for this reward. What a magnificent reward. So this villager is advising him, see, the reward that you get at the loss of your father, that's far greater than Abbas. And now you're worried about your father as well. And your father is as though he's in the arms of Allah Ta'ala, in the lap of Allah Ta'ala, as though, right? And Allah Ta'ala is far better for Abbas than you. You think your father, you are looking after your father. But now he's in the lap of Allah Ta'ala. When he's in the lap of Allah Ta'ala, then isn't Allah Ta'ala far better than you? So Ibn Abbas would say, the villager, the way he offered condolence, nobody could have offered that type of condolence. I felt so relieved, so comfortable. So, deen has to be learned. every dimension, every aspect of deen has to be learned. And deen brings the belief. And I was surprised. Sometimes you get psychiatrists coming here. Well, can you just bring us up again? You know, like one is a young psychiatrist, one is a bit aged, right, experience, is like a referral point. They come in. So it's only the, remember the psychiatrist, he was supposed to have the antidepressant, right, to throw it away. But he also is loaded with depression. So he needs also to be relieved. So it's only deen. It's not the person, not me. It is deen that will bring you about that happiness, that cheer. But then you have to hold to deen. One person was depressed, so the psychiatrist told him, you know, go to the circus, man. You'll see that tiki there, you'll get happy. So that depressed person saying, I am tiki. So even that person that is making everybody laugh, he also gets stuck. See? So the only solution, right, listen to me, I'm telling you in simple words, is deen. But the more firm you hold to it, you see the relief, you see the happiness, you see it. The gloom you'll see. Yeah? See the bloom in it. Or the whole tree. At any given time, any given situation, whole tree, and you see how you find it. So, to avoid problems. That's showing you how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, how he avoided it. Okay? And these people in the recent past, they had it. They had it in there. My Nana, no, Randall's work, right? So, there was a theft in the shop, right? At that time, money was a little tight. So, what happened actually was the neighbor, the next door shop, he was selling savories and all. So he had an arrangement with the worker that you must bring the ghee and oil and I'll see you right. So he saw him right about 20 liters. Now, talking about the end of 50s, 60s. That time things were expensive. So he saw him right and someone intercepted them, were caught. So now all this commotion is taking place. So my mother says that I'm going to see how my father, my nana, how will he be. He is relaxed. He wrote his Quran Sharif, whatever he's reading, relaxed. The other children came around, so he started to see. In your wealth, the wealth has to be divided in three parts. One part you will enjoy. One is your family, friends, and whatever else your workers will enjoy. But there must be a portion also for the thief. Stop for him to take as well. Now, if you got in your mind that it's going to happen, you're not going to feel so depressed. You say, now, why did this thing here? I'll fix him up, I'll do this. You're ranting and raving. Right? So, the chances are you do not catch the person. Or even if you catch him, you can't do much to him. But now, because of his stupidity, why must you destroy your happiness? He's not a portion, he's only. On the lighter side, my youngest uncle, he was about 85 now, right? So, he bought a new pen. So this area is over the Randall's Road. And Randall's Road is a lot of colors there. And you get some people that are notorious, really. So he left it on the line, and I think he went. And just before that, something else was on the line, and that thing also went. So when the first burglary took place, people are talking, what's going on now. So my uncle stepped in and he said, "Poor chap, he must have had, he didn't have enough clothes, so he stole that thing, you know. Now, until his pants, brand new pants, that thing went. But that thing went, so my father, my Nara found an occasion to give it back to him. Poor chap, there are no pants. He had to take the thing." So, these tragic moments also were taken so calmly and so composed. But they didn't take it so seriously. Oh, we take it so seriously. One person saw a woman in tawaf. And this woman has been in tawaf, she's like so calm, composed, and cheerful. Like no signs of any pain, no distress, no fikr and hum. So this woman is approaching that woman. But we see you so relaxed and so calm and so composed, and you carry on with your tawaf. So you weren't affected with anything. You sure were not affected. So she says, what must I tell you? It was Bakrid, right? And my husband laid down the sheep to make qurban, right? So as he took the sheep out to skin the thing, the elder son laid down his younger brother and he made qurban. One is about 5 years and the other one is about 2 years. Put the one 2 years down and he slaughtered him. Now when he saw this, what he's done to his brother, he ran for dear life. He disappeared. That's what I've done to my brother. He only realized after that. In the meanwhile, my husband went to look for him. When he went to look for him, that child was devoured by a lion. My husband was looking for him, looking into the jungles, and he fell down a cliff. He died there. In the meanwhile, I had a young child, a woman is single, a young child, that was still milking. And I had to go do some work. I left the child. I think it went towards the pot that was boiling in the stove, and the whole thing spilled over him. He died. But she says now, it is the Mubarak words of Rasulullah Paksa, the rewards that we hear about in the hereafter. That's the thing that kept me composed. But imagine, like, she lost the whole house. The three children she lost the husband, but she is in the position of maintaining composure, calmness, and cheer. You can't see the distress in the face. So that is only with thee. And that comes when your hopes and your expectations are only with Allah. See, most of the distress, the pain and the agony is when you've got expectation and hopes in people or things. You've got hopes or you've got expectations in people or things. That's where all the agony, the grief and the pain comes. But there's no hopes in people that he will see me right or he will get the thing right. There's no agony, no pain. I often quote this story, it's a real story, but this hopes, you see, that's what's killing people. I had hopes in this, I had some expectation in that, I expected to get this numbers in the examination, I was supposed to be doing like this in the business, and I didn't do it, it didn't turn out like what I had expected. So So that thing eats you up, the expectation and the hopes. If it worked out, mashallah. If it didn't work out, then it's not the end of the world. It's the end of the life, there is a problem. But it's not yet the end of your life, then try again, inshallah, you'll come up. I know some of the elders in my family, if a child didn't do well, then they would stop their parents from shouting the child. If, for example, in exams, he didn't bring out the results, you know, shouting too much, maybe the child's enthusiasm may be just be killed. Then to cure him from that, that's another problem. So now if you just encourage him, alright, now you didn't bring such results that we expected, try again, child will come right. Or to hit the person so much that that yearning, that enthusiasm is killed in him, is that an intelligent thing? Not intelligent. Maybe he tried, maybe he didn't try like how he's supposed to be trying, but now just encourage him, be with him, cooperate with him, inshallah, he'll bring better results. But to break the person totally, destroy him, break his spirits, etc. Spirit is the fuel. If you destroy the spirit, how does it work? So normally I give one story, you know. It's a real story, but it makes you understand that this hope and expectation, how devastating it is. With any person or with anything, don't have hopes. The hopes and the expectation, he was the one with whom everything is absolutely guaranteed. Nothing is a failure, there's no possibility of failure. So that's only Allah Ta'ala. With everybody else, at some point or the other, it can fail. Right? Everybody else, at some point or the other, can fail. But Allah Ta'ala, no failure, because, see, you may not do for me, right? I expect that you must do for me. But you may not do for me, why? Maybe you don't have it. I ask you for 10 rands to give me. But I ask you for 10 million rand, well, I don't have it myself. So, either you don't have it, or you have it, but you don't want to part with it. Really. Two possibilities. Either you don't have it, or you do have it, but you don't want to give it. So that can happen with man. But Allah Ta'ala, is there anything that he doesn't have? Allah's treasures are such, that say for example, if every person living on earth, he asks for all that his mind can think of, most that his mind can think of. If Allah gives everything that you ask for, then too it doesn't make a dent in the treasure of Allah Ta'ala. Just to the extent of a drop in the ocean. Any comparison? A drop to the ocean. No comparison. So that is his unlimited treasure. But now you think I'm going to give him 1 million. What's going to happen to me? What do you think? Money going to the sea? What do you think about money? Where you came from? You know how hard you owe for it? You give 10 stories, right? But Allah Pak is not like that. In a flash, he can give it to you. One Pakistani, he moved on to Jeddah. What I've got someone else. Tabligh Jamaat, simple person, got a job working there. So now he accumulated about 50,000 riyals. So his friend is saying, "Bhai, you don't do this now. You don't just accumulate, you go invest it here." By investment, catch is what? What's the mere investment? That's what you do. Property, market, etc. So you go and invest. So how you know, or you just look at the papers and say, "I see there's going to be an auction here. Go there and see, try your luck, something may come out." So he went, there's an auction, so he went. That they're bidding now. They start off of 10, 15, 20, 35, 40. Came to 50, there's nobody, so he put his hand. Now, they knocked the hammer and property is yours, so the paperwork. as they're about to just conclude the paperwork, one person flew in from Riyadh. You see, I was dreaming of this property, I want to buy the thing. So they tell him, you know what? This man has already bought the thing. If it's between you and him, if he's happy about it, very good. So they negotiate this, alright, I'll give you 60. I'll give you 60 for it. Now it came to payment, it was 60 million. He got 50,000. But you see, Allah was to give on the turn of duty. Who can stop Allah Ta'ala? Simple jogging Jamaat, he doesn't know. But he cashed in 10 million. See how Allah gives. He wants to give, nobody can stop. Nobody can stop him. He is just off the cuff, he'll give it to you. On the turn, he'll give it to you. So, that's why I say that you have expectations and hopes in people, that's the biggest disaster. Expectations and hopes only in Allah Ta'ala. Not in your children, not in your things, not in your property, not whatever. You don't have expectations. Imagine, up till last year, right, up till last year, say, November, Turkey was a tourist destination, right? And a lot of them shook it a little bit, hey, cancelled straight. Didn't happen. Everywhere, hey, they're going for holiday, Turkey. You didn't go Turkey still. What's wrong with you? The whole world is going, and now the whole destination just turned. So, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَعْدُ مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَعْدُ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. See that? So that is the only thing that is enduring, the hereafter, the reward of Allah Ta'ala. Everything else, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ, it must finish up. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكُمْ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانَ. Everything must go. The very nature of things is, it must perish, it must finish up, it must die. Nobody is here forever. Nothing is here forever, and no person is here forever. So, the only thing that is lasting is the akhirah, the hereafter. Jannah, that thing is lasting. Right? So, you rather put your hopes and your investments in the things that is enduring, is lasting, is permanent, is eternal. I'm putting all these things here, that thing is going to fail. This thing here, that thing collapsed. Now what are you going to do? One Pakistani came here, actually one of the bright side of one Pakistani. Another Pakistani came here. So he is distressed, very, very, very distressed. But kya ho gaya, what happened? He said, you know, some person told me that there's an investment going and I must invest. So how much are you going for? 10 million. So all my property and my banking accounts, everything, I think works out to about 7. But I said, you want a good return, it must be 10 million. And then you find a very good return, about 30% a year, 30%. 30% you don't get anywhere. And that person convinced him. He had 7 million cash, and he had a shop, he had a house, 2 million, 9 million, and he took 1 million from the bank. Whenever the investment. What if 1 year passed, and I think just the whole investment has collapsed. Now he doesn't have a house, he doesn't have a business, he doesn't have anything. See that? Everything lost. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ. What's yours, what's material that you must face at some point or the other. Don't think that you are running away. So many times I see in my eyes, I don't tell people, that someone is winning, and he's winning very well. One transaction, I know, one transaction, and he struck 100 million. Imagine, 100 million profits. When I hear this, I get afraid. Generally, when I hear this type of a story, I feel afraid. Now, he made 100 million, he came and told me he made 100 million. But I think it was not even 1.5 years. that his, the thing that was dearest in his life, he lost it. Child that was dearest in his life was gone. Now, he already came about three times. So now he's telling me, what's the purpose of life? What's the purpose of life? You see, he has the expectation, the hopes in the child. Right? He won here, but you, life is give and take. You give and you take as well. It's not only taking, it's give and take. You know, the old people used to say, your children are growing up, right? As they're growing up, they're going to get married, right? So, you're taking, aren't you taking? So I tell you, but you're going to take, and just now you have to give also. Someone's daughter you're going to take, but your daughter you have to give. So this life is like that. It's not only about taking, you have to take and give, both. So you have to plan your mind that this is life, this is the reality of life. When you have planned your mind, designed your life, then you say, alright, this is expected to happen. You'll feel a little bit of pain at the time of separation, but you'll be able to live with it. So see, the nature of all. So what is with Allah Ta'ala, that is permanent. Now, sometimes Allah shows these things to people. Some people, in their very life He shows it. Someone will see Jannah, and sometimes they'll see it in real. There's God, sometimes the eyes just close, and the whole picture of Jannah, sometimes lasting for 2 hours, 3 hours, they're seeing it. But that happens when it happens. It happens when you have become oblivious of this world. The world is like a scrap, right? A scrap, and your whole mind is towards the hereafter. When it's towards the hereafter, Jannat and its beauty and its splendor, then sometimes Allah just gives you one snippet, seed. See what you're investing, a seed. And when Allah shows you that, then really the taste of this world just goes. Then you enjoy, you eat, drink with friends, all that. But you don't really have a deep inclination towards it. To fulfill rights, to be good to people. So just because you have to fulfill rights and be good to people, so you're doing it. You're going through the motions. But there is an attachment. So if there's an attachment, it's attachment to the next life. So the next life has become so dear to your heart. Jannah, the hereafter, the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak's being able to meet Allah Ta'ala. That is, it's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming that this thing, the taste for it is lost. But then that hereafter, that's the thing. See, I was explaining the story of Musa alayhi salam, you know. So, that first inspiration that comes to Musa alayhi salam, right? Allah says, إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعَنَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَايَا إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَىٰ فَأَمَنِ. So he's showing what's the duty, right? And then Allah Pak rounds it up. How he rounds it up? إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. What a golden piece, eh? It's a gold and a gold. إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ. You see, I ask you to do all this effort, to serve me, make namaz, do all the good things, right? Why? Because Qiyamah is coming. But I plan to, this Qiyamah, I plan to conceal it. I don't want to expose it. That means the date of Qiyamah, that I will not expose it. I will not show you. Akadu Qiyah. So Qiyamah is of two types. One is a termination of an individual. They call it Maut, isn't it? Termination of an individual life, what do you say? Maut. But that's now an individual Qiyamah. And when it's total termination. Termination of everything. And that's the main qiyamah. This is an individual qiyamah. And that's the ultimate qiyamah. You see, qiyamah is like a termination. So there can be an individual termination and there can be a total termination. Right? So both knowledge Allah Ta'ala has concealed. He hasn't disclosed it to anybody. Individual termination and total termination, he has not disclosed it. He's not disclosed it. Why? Why Allah Ta'ala concealed it? If I ask you, if Allah Ta'ala were to show you, right, you know, you're going to be living for 2 years. 2 years, Ramzan, you're going to go. I ask you, will you have any happiness in life? Will there be happiness in life? There can't be any happiness in life. Hey, I'm going. So, is there going to be happiness in life? So, there can be, this is one response. The other type of response is, that if you know your date of departure, right, say 20 years right from now, or 30 years from now is the time of departure. So your other response can be, say I got still 30 years. So let me play, let me enjoy myself for the 29 years. Last year, we'll work on something. So then will you work for that journey? So you can have mixed responses. One is that person will be overcome with grief and pain and sorrow, and he can't function. And the other is that, say, I got 35 years, let me play it out, enjoy myself. Then the last year, then we can work towards it. So you get both the extremes. Allah says, I'm going to conceal this. So you don't know the individual end, you don't know the total end. You don't know the individual qiyamah, you don't know the total qiyamah. Akadu fiha. لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى لِتُجْزَى. So, Qiyamah, why is Allah calling for a day of Qiyamah? Why is He calling it? Why? He's calling for it because لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى, that every person can be rewarded to the extent of his endeavor. What? What you work for, proportionately you will get. Jaisi karni, vaisi bharni. Jannat bhi hai, aur dozakh bhi hai. Na maan, to karke dekh. Na maan, jannat bhi hai, aur dozakh bhi hai. Aur na maan, to mar ke dekh. There is a thing like Jannat, there is a thing like hereafter. You don't believe it, just wait. Let the death overcome you and see what happens to you. So this point is coming that Qiyamah is what? Is to reward you, right? And every soul is being rewarded proportionate to its endeavor. How you work, you will not get it. So Allah is not worried about color, race, nationality, nothing, not even family. What he says, you work and you'll gain. Whoever works, you work, you'll gain. Proportionate to your endeavor, you're going to get. So it's left to you. Work and you appreciate your time. We start off with appreciation of time. You appreciate your time, then you're scoring well. Or you didn't appreciate your time, then you lost out. It's gain and loss. Yawmut taghabun. A day for loss or gain. So every soul is going to get rewarded according to its endeavor. You work and you want to get it. See, the human mind, how it works. The human mind works like this. I must know what I'm going to get. Right? Then I'll work accordingly. Right? You want to make an investment. And you know, it's a blue chip a tenant, and he's giving you 25%, right? With an increment of say 7% every year. Won't you take it? Even if you don't have the money, somehow you'll get it.
Ramallah is right. So they give you 25%, but the 7% increase every year. Yeah? Right. Even if you don't have, and it's a blue chip, it's a guaranteed tenant. You don't want to cancel it for the next 50 years. See? So, when you saw the reward, right, you bought the finance. Because you know, alright, this is going to bring me this returns. So that's your mind. Your mind works how? Your mind works proportionate to the reward that you're going to get. So now, you must be certain that I'll be doing this and Allah Pak is going to reward. This and Allah Pak is going to reward. So proportionate to the certainty, the yakin that you've got, that I'm going to get this, then will be your work. You have the certainty that yakin Allah Pak will make it happen, then Allah Pak will make it a reality. So the whole thing revolves around your hereafter and the yakin, the conviction that you have in the promises of Allah. See? The conviction that you have in the promise of Allah. Many of you all have seen Mawlana Bobat, you know, Madina Munawwara. So his two sons were here, Yunus and Zakaria. One is passed away now. So one day he's telling me that when this madrasa started around the 80s, so at that time we had just opened out and Azadu was already on the way. So a lot of students used to go to Azadu. So sometimes they have to book a taxi and they hire the taxi, they will be 12, 13 passengers all the way. So there will be one point where passengers will be received and all have to meet at that point and leave from that point. And what I see, I was a witness to this. So the Kumbi and the students all came and they're on their way now. It was 1980, no phone, nothing at the time, right? Now, the taxi had just left now for 20 minutes and the last student just rocked up at the venue. Where's the taxi? It left already. Where's the taxi? It's already left. So the student, look at him, right? Spent some time in Jamaat, right? So there was no facial discomfort. All he asked, give me a musalla. And he read 2 rakat namaz. He hardly completed the salam. The taxi came back. Hey, we found a parcel, man. You see that? That conviction. Allah will make it happen. One is the yaqeen and one is your reward. So you do this and this is the reward. So the safest, the best investment is the investment of the hereafter. There's no losing. There's no deterioration. There's no losing of value. But the value doesn't. It just goes on. Increasing the value just goes on. Proportionate to your sincerity and the goodness of your heart, that it keeps just growing, like a single date, right? But if the farmer does it well, one date, okay, you can one date can produce another 1,000 trees, isn't it? Almost just one small, so small seed, you see the seeds here, but what can it do? So same, your niyat is right, intentions are right, heart is good, small detail about this allows it to multiply. Allah Akbar.